God, we just thank you for your presence with us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask, Lord, now that you'll apply your word to our hearts as we hear it read and spoken of, that the Lord will be glorified in it. Amen. Amen. I want to think about a very well-known verse. You'll know the next verse is John 3:16. But it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Everyone who believes will have eternal life, and so on. Keep putting it up, Mark. Yeah. You're talking about the cross as we approach Easter. We focus very much on the suffering of the Lord, and of course of his death, and resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection too. I was thinking about the cross, you know. And we as Protestants, as Christians, generally refer to the empty cross, don't we? Because there's no body on it, because Jesus is risen. But, you know, the cross, it's not just a nice piece of jewelry. I heard about someone who went into a jeweler's once and says, can I have a cross, but can I have one with a little man on it? You know, just a bit of jewelry. It's actually the Lord Jesus Christ. And in many ways, a cross is not something to be made into jewelry and idolized. It was a horrible thing, really. It was the instrument that Jesus was put to death by. And in the early church, they didn't have crosses in their churches. It was only about 300 years later that they really got into the cross and using the cross. We're going to be preaching the cross and taking the cross into town centre because it's become the symbol of our faith. But really, there's a danger that the cross can become everything, that the wood can become everything, rather than what happened on it, rather than who died upon the cross. You know, we talk about the cross we have to bear, don't we? And we're going to be doing this, take up your cross witness at Easter. And somebody says, well, I've got a bad leg. It's a cross I have to bear. My husband or my wife is a cross I have to bear. My job or my neighbor is a cross I have to bear. No, it's not. You may have to bear those crosses, but that's not the cross that Jesus spoke about when he said, take up your cross. The cross meant only one thing. That was death. And what Jesus is really saying is, take up your cross. Be willing to die to yourself, die to your own ambitions and aims and desires, and live for me. Take up your cross, he says, and follow me. That's the cross that Jesus is really referring to. And in this scripture that Mark's put up for us, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, really, to compare Jesus to a snake is unthinkable. And yet, Jesus was referring to, pull the other bit up, Mark, verse 14, where Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. You see, we're going to look at that story in a moment. But to compare Jesus to a snake is shocking, absolutely shocking. A snake seemed to be the embodiment of evil in so much of the biblical teaching. And yet we see Jesus calling himself, if you like the snake upon the cross. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, the snake in the wilderness, Jesus says, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he likened himself or draw some parallel to himself and this snake. It's almost unthinkable to think of the Holy One being this caricatured by this sinful image, this evil image of a snake. It's absolutely shocking. He knew the story from Moses. Let's look at it, Mark. It's Numbers chapter 21. Verse 4-9. I'm not going to read it. I just want Mark to scroll through it. So we're going to multitask this morning. You can read it while I'm talking. Okay? So the story is going to be up. Numbers 21, verses 4-9. If you could just scroll through it slowly. Numbers 21, verse 4-9. And when you read the story, you'll find that the people complained against Moses. They were in the wilderness, Israel. And they complained against Moses. They complained against Aaron. And worse, they complained against God. Have you brought us in the wilderness to die? We haven't got any onions and garlics like we used to have. They complained about the manna, this stuff that we're eating. Do you know, God was sending the manna every day. And to feed, it's been estimated that to feed the crowd that was in the wilderness, there was as much as 240 wagon loads a day of this manna that God was delivering. 240 wagon loads of this stuff every day. A miracle. And yet they call it this stuff. They despised God. Complained against God. The Bible says that God sent in some snakes. Punishment for their sin and their rebellion. In spite of all the miracles they've seen, you know, sort of the parting of the Red Sea, the plagues in Egypt, the manna falling from heaven, and so on. And God was going to do more for them. The shoes never wore out. They were never ill. All sorts of things. And yet they complained and were really bitter against God and Moses and his servants. A God sent snakes. Punishment. Now the snakes weren't, this is where a parallel comes between the cross of Jesus and the serpent in the wilderness. The snakes weren't sent as preventive. They weren't sent to prevent them from complaining, but they were sent afterwards as a punishment for their sin that they'd done. God also put the pole up in the wilderness, and Moses put this pole up in the wilderness with a snake on it as a cure for their sin. So God, in one hand, cursed the people by sending snakes among them to judge them for the sin, and then he provided his own cure for that malady. And that's just a picture of what happened on the cross, isn't it? Mankind sinned against God, went their own way. The punishment for God, for sin, sorry, from God is death. It's sickness, isn't it? It's all the decay that we see around everything. And yet we find that Jesus also, God also says, but I'm also going to provide the healing for it too. I'm also going to provide the way of escape of Jesus upon the cross. The message was very simple with the pole that was put up in the wilderness, because Moses says, if you've been bitten by a snake, all you have to do is to look and you'll live. So they had to have that faith to go to where the pole was and to just look on it and trust God to heal them. And it's like that with the cross. That we've all sinned, we've all been bitten by sin. And the simple thing is, we have to come and see Jesus dying upon the cross to look to him for our forgiveness and our healing from sin. And it really happens. It's so simple. It's by faith. It's so easy. It's so easy. Very easy. And you know, I used to do a children's story like this. I used to get dressed up like a Roman soldier. And I used to say, I'm a Roman soldier. The snakes will not bite me. Ah! And I'd fall down. They used to get dressed up as a washerwoman with my mop. And I used to come in and I used to say, there's no snakes in my house, you know. And then a snake would bite the woman and she'd die. Then somebody else going on holiday with a suitcase with pyjamas hanging out of it. Oh, I don't like to be beside the seaside. Oh, there's no snakes at Blackpool. And boom, I get bitten as well. And I used to do that little parody of the whole thing. Show that the snake bites everyone, really. And we've all sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. I looked in the on the internet to find out what symptoms was like from a bite from a viper in the Middle East, the type of viper that we're looking at. It says this, that these are the symptoms. If you get bitten by a viper in those days, you'd have fiery pain when it first bit you. You'd have immediate swelling. Your skin color would change, white, flaming red, purple, dark blue. You'd be nausea, vomiting, excruciating pain and cramping, extreme thirst. Your liver and kidneys will be damaged from the toxins it's fighting. Extreme tenderness in the abdomen and diarrhea. You'd have hemorrhaging, nosebleeds and from your mouth and your eyes too. The poison would destroy your blood cells and cause bleeding in the capillaries. And the person usually bled to death, but not quickly. It usually lasted 2 days. I mean, that's not nice at all, is it? And that's a picture of sin, isn't it? The sin is worse than we think. And in those days, when they were in the wilderness, there's no hospitals. No medical facilities. There's no antidote available. There's no human help at all. When they were bitten by a snake, that was it. They had to do something and do it quick. It's like that with sin, isn't it? There is no help outside of God. There is no way of escape. There is nothing that can cure except God's instrument. And Jesus says, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up. So too must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now I want to move forward to another scripture, and this is in Mark 2 Kings 18, verse 3 and 4. 2 Kings 18, verse 3 and 4. That's our faith, isn't it? You see the picture there between the Moses and serpent in the wilderness and the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up. Such a graphic picture. And Jesus did that. He likened himself to the snake in the wilderness. And it wasn't, I mean, Jesus himself was holy. But what he was really saying was, he took upon himself your sin and my sin. And he became sin upon the cross. And that's where the snake bit comes in. And Jesus says, yes, I was holy upon the cross, but I took that snake upon me. I took that sin upon me. He took our punishment. He took the wrath of God that we might be saved eternally. Now we got this portion that Mark's put up there. So a guy called Hezekiah is on the throne of Israel. Israel had lots of bad kings. Now they've got a good guy called Hezekiah. And he wanted to bring Israel back to God. He was a good king. And he did many reforms. You read about them in Scripture. He saw clearly the need to turn back to God. So clearly, the fact the nation had gone away from God. So clearly. There's so many people today who don't really see clearly. They don't see the need of God. They don't see the situation of the world as it is. They don't see their sin. And they don't see and understand why Jesus came and the whole cure for sin that's embodied in his sacrifice upon the cross. I was thinking of a man in the Bible. I was reminded by my son Telly, really. And Jane Austen. Did anybody see that bit? I think it was Jane Austen. They were on about saying they found her glasses and they'd done some microscopic tests on her glasses and found out that when she was older, that her eyes got like a film on, like, almost like glaucoma or something, that she couldn't see very well to write. See through a glass darkly, as the Bible says. There's a chap in the Bible, and the Bible says that Jesus took him by the hand and held him and led him outside the village, because the village mentality could be something to get away from. It took him outside the village, and Jesus touched him again and healed him. And the man says, I see men like trees walking. Some people felt that what he was seeing was angels, and says, they're like men, tall, you know, but they're not quite men. He saw angels. Other people felt that what he was really seeing was the reality was coming before him, and he was seeing the people standing around him, but he saw them like very vague, as if he was looking through frosted glass. Couldn't see very well. Living in the blur, if you like. And yet it was honest enough, wasn't it, to actually say, Jesus, you touched me, but I still can't see properly. You know, sometimes we can pretend, can't we, that when we're born again, when we've given our lives to Christ, that we see everything clearly. And the trouble is, a lot of us don't. A lot of us say, Lord, I'm not where I was. I know that. I've moved on a bit. But I'm not where I want to be either. Lord, there's still things that's a bit fuzzy. There's still things that's a bit unclear. There's still things. And that's why we have the Word of God. That's why we need to read. That's why we need to hear it spoken. That's why we need to get into the Word of God. So things become clearer and clearer. And Hezekiah saw things becoming clearer. And the Bible says that he went and he got rid of all the idols that he could in the land. And he sanctified the house of God. He did so many things, Hezekiah, in his revival. I love preaching on that. I'll preach on it one day. I think you'll love it, I hope. But, one thing that he got rid of, and where the Mark's put it up here, that when he was getting rid of all the idols, he said, remove the high places, smash the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. That's amazing, isn't it? You see, the pole that Moses put up in the wilderness had its purpose in that day. But then Israel kept hold of it, an icon. You know, look at this pole that we've got that Moses made. Can you imagine the flack that Hezekiah would get when he tried to destroy that? It was about 1,500 years old. It was really old. It was an antique. It was an artifact. And Hezekiah got his hammer to it. Listen, I have trouble getting rid of stuff that's in your attic in the church here. Because it was in Victoria Church 50 years ago. Huh? Point taken. But you know, Hezekiah got hold of this bronze thing, 1,500 years old. It would be a work of art today, wouldn't it? It'd be on an antique roadshow. They wouldn't be able to value it. It'd be so valuable. Moses made it. a work of art, historical significance. And Moses got the hammer to it, and Hezekiah got the hammer to it. I like that bit. Broke it up. He broke it up. I beg a lot of flack. But it was God's way. Because the people had turned from just recognizing that God had used it to beginning to worship it. And there is a danger within Christian circles that we begin to worship things. The cross. You know, we can carry the cross, we can proclaim the cross, but we don't worship the cross. Our buildings, the stained glass windows. You know something? If the enemy came in sometime and destroyed all the crosses in our environment and all the buildings, would it worry you? It wouldn't alter your faith in God. It wouldn't alter the fact that Jesus Christ is with you. It wouldn't. And sometimes people get enamored by pictures. We've got this sacred picture on the wall. It's just a picture. It's just a picture. Or a St. Christopher. Or a crucifix. If it comes between you and God, it should be broken up, shouldn't it? If it comes between you and God. We're not into artifacts. We're not into icons. We're not into anything that can be idolatrous. We're in a relationship with God. Do you know something? Nobody can ever take that away. I have to think about some of these people who are persecuted in some of the countries like Iraq and, you know, Syria, and that we've seen it, and we have people being put to death. And you know something? In one sense, they can't take anything away from a believer. They can burn the building and say, okay, God's take us to heaven, we've got a new building, you know, better building, you know. They can destroy the cross, so what? It's just a cross, but my Lord is still alive. They can kill you, they can take your body, but all they do is relocate you to heaven. Yeah? All they do is relocate you. They don't destroy you, they just relocate you. Living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is all that really matters, isn't it? To know that He is with us. There's He that we talk to. There's He who lives within us. All these other things can be an aid to our faith, but that's all. That's all they are, an aid, an illustration, but it's what's real that really, really matters. Tell you something. Hezekiah at that time was surrounded by the Assyrians from Mosul, all that area. They're all surrounding Hezekiah under a leader called Sennacherib. And he was really having a good go. You read the whole story around about that portion of scripture, which is up there now. And Sennacherib surrounded Jerusalem. And he was saying, Hezekiah can't save you. Hezekiah put his trust in God. The Bible says Hezekiah prayed. Do you know what happened? That night, God sent an angel into the Assyrian camp that was surrounding Jerusalem. And in one night, God killed 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers. One night, 185,000 of them died. And Sennacherib and the Assyrians fled back to their homeland. And the Bible says when he got back to his own land, Sennacherib went into the temple of his God, and two of his own relatives went and murdered him. Murdered him. So you can't come against God, can you? God always will defend his people. God always will defend his word. Friends, what I want to say this morning is that this Easter, we don't get taken up by any of the ceremonies particularly, or any of the icons to do with it, but really to see Jesus, to see what he did for us upon the cross, to see what he went through for us, to see the fact that he rose again from the dead for us. And because he lives, we will live. It's a living faith with a living Savior. Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. If I be lifted up, as a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. It's up to you and me to lift up Jesus. Not the church. Huh? Not any icon. Not any preacher. Not any singer. Not any musician. Not any person or individual. But to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, we lift him up in our lives. We lift him up in our worship. We lift him up in our proclamation. I just say one other thing before I close as well. If ever you give anything to a church, it must be given with the right for the church to get rid of it when they want to. Yeah? Don't give it. We don't want a plaque on the wall forever for you.
I want to go home.
Yeah, all right. That means I've gone on too long. But you know, we had one church that was in Yorkshire, and the church wanted to move the platform. It had a big platform, and on one end there was a nice silvery type vase. It wasn't real silver, but a silvery type. And on the other side was a matching one. And when they came to move the pulpit, there was a big argument going on in the church because somebody had donated those vases years ago and they should stand there at the front. And they would almost hold the church to ransom because they gave those two vases. I would give them back. Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. Amen. Let's lift Jesus up. Eh?
Amen.
Father, we just thank you for your love and your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the examples from Scripture. And Lord, you tell us, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. Lord, I pray that indeed you will draw people to you this Easter. The Lord, you'll realize it's more than a ceremony. It's more than an Easter egg. It's more than a bunny. It's more than any of these simple things that people get attached to. But Lord, it's about a living, risen Savior who really did die for us upon the cross, who really was raised from the dead, and who really will save us if we look to the cross and live. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.